The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
That was my internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Was I am washed up, I'm done. So I came to Carolyn very discouraged and full of a lot of self-pity and that overwhelming question that women face when they find themselves at halftime, which is, what now?
Are you looking for energy, significance, and joy in the next season of life? Shane Moore and Carolyn Castleberry Hux help women at halftime navigate this territory. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson, a man hosting a show about women with a bunch of women. So welcome.
But I'm here to support you.
Thank you for that. No, we're glad you're here. Listen, you may remember Carolyn Castleberry. She was on the program many years ago, several programs, and we've always loved her. She's just done so many great things on so many places. She has a new book that she has co-written with Shane Moore, who is with us, and it is called Women at Halftime. And I know I've had a mother my whole life. This is an issue that women struggle with, and I don't think I'm out of line saying that. It's that second phase of life a lot of times. Any kind of change, a shift, whatever age it hits, it's significant. So, ladies, welcome.
Thank you. So good to see both of you again.
Now, please.
You look exactly the same.
Correct me for everything wrong I just said. Correct me so that I get this straight.
You're spot on.
Is this right?
Yeah.
Is this what we're
Absolutely.
Talking about?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Carol, let me ask you, all our circumstances are slightly different, but I understand the premise of the book because you get to a certain stage where, like, our son is now in graduate school, so he's away from home, and things change, things shift, and you think, well, what now? But you went through a lot that led to this. I mean, you had a marriage that had lasted for a long time. Talk about what that was like for you.
Yeah, so with Women at Halftime, so many of us go through something that changes. For me, it was a relationship that ended. For a lot of women, it might be children leaving the nest, for example, or a job or a ministry that ends.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're well prepared and schooled for that first half of life, right?
Yeah.
But then we get to 40s, 50s. I'm approaching 60. I'm 58. And we think, oh, my goodness, who am I now?
Yeah.
You know, and who will I be without this person in my life? Or the kids are now flown the nest and they're adults. And there's nobody who's prepared me for this. So it was about a decade journey for me in becoming a coach. For me, it was a hobby and it was a ministry. I became an executive coach. I coach teams in national security these days and never in a million years thought I'd be doing all this. Never.
So how do you guys know each other? How did your paths collide?
Well, this is my coach.
Hello.
No, perfect.
Absolutely. I was the, and my personal story is also woven throughout the book your previous guests and their beautiful stories touched me. I too had gone through a trauma that led to my personal halftime. And we talk about that halftimes could be there for many women. So I'm 52. For many women, that halftime is usually marked by a loss of some kind. So it could be a career. It could be a marriage. It could be a ministry. You're like, mops doesn't fit anymore. You know, it's just some kind of loss. And so I truly was at my own halftime of feeling that God was absolutely done with me. And I had written books. I had traveled the world. I'd been a voice for, women and maternal health in developing countries. Like, I really had done things, and suddenly I couldn't give my giftings away. HR did not know what to do with me because I'd been this hybrid mom and a high-impact volunteer. I couldn't get a job. Wow. I was like, nobody wants a 50-year-old housewife. And then people are like, you're not a 50. I was like, that was my internal dialogue, was I am washed up. I'm done. I'm an empty nester. The church doesn't want me. I couldn't work in the corporate sector. And so I came to Carolyn very discouraged and full of a lot of self-pity and that overwhelming question that women face when they find themselves at halftime, which is, what now?
Yeah. I wonder if some of that is because we tend to identify ourselves by the fact that I'm so-and-so's wife, or I'm so-and-so's mother, or I do this job. And if those things shift, then we don't know who we are. For me, it was discovering at the lowest point in my life that I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
And nothing can shift that. But it made me, how did Carolyn help you?
Yeah, we tell those funny stories in the book where, you know, when if you really do that hard work of transformation, and that is her wheelhouse, she is that transformational guru. And but it's hard work.
Yeah.
It's hard work. And so she, it was a monthly coaching session that I entered into, and she, and we talk about it, and she took me through a process. And this book is that process,
right,
in an accessible form. And it, but yeah, you have to do some work. You, like you said, we take, she can speak to more to the different phases of the actual process, but you know, you do have to pause. And who am I now?
Yeah.
What do I actually value? You know, what if things have changed in our life? But yeah, I mean, I was kind of crabby. It was doing the hard work. I was a lot of self-pity, and I tell the story of like wanting to throw my computer and off the side of the bed because I was like, why is she asking me this question? You know, because if you are really getting honest with yourself, mm-hmm, about what you believe about yourself, what you believe about God, mm-hmm, what you believe about the world, it's when you're not just giving the rote answers that, mm-hmm, you've given your whole life, it can be scary.
Yeah, and the question was, what are your dreams now?
Mm. Wow, yeah, I love, yeah, that you talk about turn your dreamer back on.
Yes.
That's an intriguing phrase.
Yeah, you think about it, Sheila, because when we're little, we are told, you know, we can go and we can do and, mm-hmm, we can be whatever we want. And maybe we want to be a mom or a wife or whatever. We hit this age or something happens and the dreamer seems to go off.
Yeah.
It's about empowering others. You know, it's about empowering our kids. Or I have a 96-year-old father, so I think a lot about,
wow,
him. And when it comes to us actually dreaming a whole new dream for a second half, that's just a foreign concept,
yeah,
to so many women. But, you know, God's not finished with you yet.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you break it down into four transformational stages. And I wonder if you talk about the first one, get clear. What does that mean?
Yeah, and it's exactly what you said. Who am I now?
Yeah.
Who am I now that the kids are gone? Who am I now that the job, or, you know, the lack of a job is there? And we take women through a process to get really clear on who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And who you are now may not be who you were then.
Yeah.
Right? So one of the big traps, I think, with women in finding who they are in this stage of life is competition. You know, in comparison. You're always looking at other,
yeah,
women and thinking, I need to be more like her. And there's also comparison with our former selves, hmm, right? Hmm. You look back 10, 20 years ago and you think, well, how come I'm not that person anymore? Well, it's because you're not, you know? And God has a whole new plan for you. So getting really clear on who you are now, which some of those clues to who you are might be buried in the past. You have to do some excavating, but you also have to look to the future to what no longer fits anymore.
Hmm. Interesting. I have a question, but would you hand me that Bible? Because I have a scripture and I want to get it right. I don't want to misquote.
Ephesians 2:10?
No. But
no,
so I have a question for you, because you alluded to what is your dream now. I wonder if some people even have difficulty with that. Like, should I even have a dream?
Yeah.
Should we dream?
Not only should you have a dream, but there's someone who has a dream for you, and that's God. So Ephesians 2:10 is really the central verse on scripture of this book, that we are God's workmanship. You know, we're created uniquely for good works in Christ Jesus that He's prepared in advance that we should walk in them. So in other words, somebody has it figured out, but it's not up to us to just kind of sit back and say, okay, Lord, you know, it's up to you. We actually have to get out there and work and get curious and, mm-hmm, do some exploration, and it's okay to fail. Yeah. Just like we failed
That's
when we
important.
Were in our 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
So how did you get clear in your life?
Going through the process.
What did that look like, though,
yeah,
for
no,
you?
There are actual activities. And one thing she said is getting clear on who you are. But for me, it was, and also who you are not.
Oh, wow.
You know, and really learning those, the boundaries, and that really taking that really intentional look at your life. And it takes time. Yeah. I mean, Carolyn, we have a whole chapter just on forgiveness.
That's huge.
And this
yeah.
whole idea that you will not live into your Ephesians 2:10 calling. You will not have joy and purpose in your second half of life if you are holding on to resentments
Absolutely.
And pain from your first half. Yeah. It won't happen. Mm-hmm. And so we have a part to play in those works that God has for us. And so, you know, it takes time. So that's what it looked like for me. We listened to the audiobook the other day, and I was like, it's very interesting hearing my own voice telling me things I need to learn.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, yeah. I'm still working yeah. on parts of the process.
It's a process, though,
yes.
isn't it? Continue. Did
it
you
is.
Find your verse?
I did find my
yeah.
verse. And okay, so here's yeah. and one of the most curious verses, if you actually think about it, is the very first verse, two verses, of the book of Joshua. Okay, and it says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And my brain goes to which Joshua goes, well, duh, we just buried him, I know. It says, now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. What that says to me, though, is that there are times when things die in our lives or there's a shift in our lives, we moved into something else. God knows it, but sometimes He has to remind us. And then He says, get up, I got something for you to do.
That's so Absolutely.
How
Absolutely.
Important is it that we realize, yes, God is saying, I'm not done with you yet.
I'm not. And to normalize failure, to normalize endings, to realize that what we were in our first half may not fit anymore. Mm-hmm. And God has whole new plans for you. I think Shane did some great research on how we're in just a different phase in women's history. You did some of that. You want to talk about where we are now?
Yeah, I mean, we're at a new time in history where women are living entire lifetimes after raising children
sure.
and giving
yeah.
birth. Entire lifetimes. And this is maybe 100 years in the history of civilization. So there's very little resources out there for women in the second half of their life. And some of the research we did on mental health and depression, it's the highest age group of depression and suicidal ideations. And that voice is so underrepresented in our churches and in our culture, like really, because you become, as a woman, if we talk about, your body starts changing, you're hitting menopause, you're covering up the gray hair. You become invisible. I mean, yeah. I literally would have that in my head. I'm invisible. I'm invisible. And you're invisible in church, and you're invisible the grocery, like you become invisible to society. And so it really, I mean, this book, it was, yes, it's my personal story, but it's also become such a personal passion for the women and our generation, that this is a somewhat of a new phenomenon in like the history of mankind.
Your second stage of transformation is get free.
Get free.
I think of all the ways, the labels that we wear,
yes.
you know, and who we think we are. What's the first step in getting free?
You have to take a look at some of the limiting beliefs and lies yeah. that you're accepting as truth. I heard one woman who said to me, you know, I'm 50 and I feel like I'm being put out to pasture. And I said, really? No, I don't think so. And so that your best years are behind you, that if you've been out of the workforce, that you can't catch up. No, that's a lie. That you'll never be as good or pretty or thin or not have the gray hair as in your 20s. Who cares? You know, because God has a new plan for you. So there are just a host of lies that I think women accept as fact. And what Shane said is so true. The church is missing it with women in this stage of life, because you've got a whole workforce who could go out and
power force.
But think about how many, you know, midlife moms groups you have, or midlife corporate women. Not so many. Mm-mm. I was talking to my pastor about this, and he said, oh my goodness, we've missed it. Mm. And he's right. You know, so we're hoping that this is really a book of hope, and it's a book of a process to walk to a new season with joy, peace, and purpose. And we hope that women do this together.
I love that.
I see a lot of room, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I see a lot of room for women in the second half to really mentor those in the first half.
Yes.
Because you've been there.
Exactly.
Do you see a lot of that? Do you see a lot of fulfillment come out of that? I know that's what a lot of what my wife's doing now.
Yeah, actually, there are some stories in the book. So every chapter begins with a story and an example. And the end of the story, not spoiler alert, sorry, but the women get together and end up mentoring each other and holding hands and walking together. And you know what's so amazing? Women from different areas of life. So there seems to be a divide of, you know, am I a stay-at-home mom? Am I a working mom? Yeah. Am I this or am I? Oh, no. I mean, you get to be this age. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? It's more about what is my passion? What is my calling? Which may be very different from the woman who's in the pew next to you.
And I think as a believer in God, in a creative God who never makes a mistake, I think of the number of women in the church who are frustrated because they think there's nothing else for them to do.
Right.
And is that your hope for the book, that this would just...
Yeah.
Start little fires all across the country.
Absolutely. One of the chapters in the book, as you get toward the end and you've worked through some of the processes, you actually write a mission statement for your life.
Oh, I love that.
And we give all the different examples. But it's that, those are those fires or that intentionality that we want to invite women to. Take yourself seriously in your second half. Be intentional. Who you are, who God made you to be, and what do you want to do?
Yeah.
What lights your personal fire? Because God put that there.
Yeah.
You know, what is your dream? If you could do anything, what would your perfect life look like?
Yeah.
That's a terrifying question for most women to answer, or fairly sad, because they might have to face the reality that what they're doing right now is not close to their dream or who God made them to be.
All right, so I can tell that there's been a lot of fire lit under one, right?
Yeah,
right?
She's a fireball.
You've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
What have you seen when women start to realize, I still have value, God still has a plan for me, and there is a second half?
Yeah. What we've seen is more than 100 women coming together who are part of this book who say, we've got to get the message out. We've got to let women know that God's not finished with them, and sometimes your best years are still ahead, and there's a whole process you can follow. So there were about 100 women. The Halftime Institute, which is in Dallas, is mainly men, and I began as a coach during my own transition from journalism to being a stay-at-home mom to being a business owner, right? And went through halftime as a woman and, you know, became one of the first women coaches because they basically didn't have anyone else. So through this journey, though, you know, we found that it is different for women and men. It is a little bit different for women and men. And some of the language, you know, success to significance just doesn't resonate with women.
No.
We think we've done a significant life.
Yes.
We've had lots of sacrifices, and we want a different significance. So lots of women whose voices are a part of this and who say, you know, we can't stop here. We need to get this into the churches, into book clubs.
That's awesome. You know, it's interesting. When my mom turned 65, I flew back to Scotland, and I said to her, okay, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Because when my father died when we were young, her prayer was that she would be spared to see us all grown up and independent and trusting the Lord. And my brother was the last one to just graduate and get into his work. And she said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, God answered that first. What are we going to do now?
Yeah.
And I discovered it had always been her desire, but she thought it was over, to lead a Bible study. And so we started, you know, I sent out invitations to all the ladies in the neighborhood, and they all came in, and my mom said, well, will you lead it? And I'm like, no, Mom, this is your dream.
That's right.
And watching my mom in our living room, where it became holy ground, gave her a new fire and a new purpose. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a pulse, if there's not a white chalk mark around your body, I'm thinking it's not too late.
No, and you know, you're right. It's about multiplying yourself. It's about Bob Buford, who wrote Halftime, and this is inspired by Halftime, used to say, let your fruit grow on other people's trees.
Oh, I love
so
that.
It's not about you going out and leading all these Bible studies. It's about empowering other women to go and do their work.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. I like your fourth section is get going.
Get going.
Because it's not new. You've maybe you got some people thinking today, but there's some action that needs to be taken.
That's right.
And in fact, you know what? I'd love to send you this book if you will support our outreach right now. So Women at Halftime is the book, and it will really, I think, point you towards the purpose that God has in mind for you. I think a big purpose of that is to do exactly what we are doing here at Life Outreach through our mission outreaches and saving lives around the world. right now is a great opportunity for you to sort of get going, to make an impact in someone's life. And I hope you'll do that. Watch this, and we'll be right back.
The water source for this village is visibly unclean. You can clearly see the debris, scum, and wildlife that contaminate it. But it's the unseen parasites in the water that pose the greatest threat. One that took the lives of two of Julian's children. Experience has taught Julian to walk in fear, knowing she is unable to protect her children from the danger. Unclean water does not have to be the end of the story for Julian or her children. It doesn't have to be the end of the story for anyone.
You know, as a mom, when I look into Julian's eyes and I see that pain, I can't imagine what it's like to have to bury a child because of something that we just take for granted. The ability to give your child clean water. And she's already lost two children. And the thought that the children that she has left are drinking from the exact same water source is, I mean, I can't imagine how you lay your head down at night, knowing that you wake up again the next day with the same choices. And the thing that I began to understand the more I went in some of these places is how hard these women work. Mm-hmm. I mean, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they walk and walk and walk to the only source of water, but it's usually one of those hand-dug wells, maybe about 6 feet down, and the water is filthy. I remember the first time I saw them bring a bucket up and I looked at it and I was like, I wouldn't let my dog drink that water. But that was all they had. But I've also gone to a village where you see this beautiful sight of a water well, and it'll say given from Partners of Life Outreach International. And I watched the children pump the water, and they're the way children should be, laughing, you know, being children. The situation at the moment is really drastic in so many of the nations we work in. We're working in 20 nations, and Randy, they've been asking us, please help us. And they're not asking for everything. They're just asking for clean water.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting you mentioned them digging, you know, maybe 6 feet down. And there's only so much you can do with your hands or with, you know, tools. And I had to look this up. You can go check it out online if you want. But most wells are several hundred feet down, wherever you are in the world. That's how far you have to drill down to get to really clean water. It takes some pretty heavy-duty machinery in some very remote areas to get in there and provide a well that will serve villages, the surrounding villages. They'll come. It becomes a hub, sort of a community point. It's a beautiful thing to see, by the way. That's why we say the average cost for a well is $4,800. Some of you could give a well. Many of you, though, can give water to a few people, and this is how it looks. Your gift of $48 today will provide 10 people with water for an average of 70 years. That's about how long the average well will last, because it's not just drilling into the earth, it's doing the casing and providing the pump and all the things that will last that long. That's why we say water for life. It lasts most people their entire lifetime. A gift of $144 today will help give water for life to 30 people. But you know, as we meet their physical needs, we also give them something far more than that. We give them hope for a future. we get them past the point of worrying about living through another day so that they can think about tomorrow. Would you reach out and give someone water and also give them hope in the name of Jesus? I pray you're going online or going to the phone right now. We can do this, but we can only do it with your help.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you The Birthright. This book is a liberating and life-changing celebration of your birthright as a child of the King. Discover the joy of coming home to your Father's warm embrace. With your gift of $100 or more, we'll also send you the Moments with Him mug set. These two beautifully crafted coffee mugs feature scripture on the side, the perfect way to start your day and reflect on the goodness of God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well and request our new inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Thank you so much. Please keep calling, for the lines are busy. Let's change this world for Jesus. And with any gift at all, request your own copy of Women at Halftime, a guide to reigniting dreams and finding renewed joy and purpose in your next season. Shane, Carolyn, thank you so much for this incredible resource.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we love having you guys, and we love having all of you watching. So please come back. We'll see you again next time on Live Today.
Bye.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Just search Life Today and you'll be connected to exciting shows featuring your favorite guests. Never miss a moment to get inspired, get involved, and get the best of life anytime, anywhere. Life Today is always on. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience. Next week, after Sarah and Steve Berger's son tragically died from an inexplicable car accident, they encountered the God of all comfort amidst their grief. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.